y'all. Thanks for listening to Killer Queens.
Or KQ if you're nasty.
Welcome to the show where two 90s-loving country chicks gab about true crime and tell each other to talk to the hand because the face ain't listening. I'm Torella.
And I'm Tori.
And we're sisters who have always loved true crime and decided to turn that obsession into a show with a light take on the topic.
Kind of like diet true crime, it's all the flavor and fewer calories.
Now with our show, you'll get true crime, 90s nostalgia, and a few four-letter words sprinkled in.
Because I always say that Polly Pockets and true crime go together like peas and carrots.
Be sure to check out our case submission form on our website at killerqueenspodcast.com and follow us on social media and YouTube.
Now grab your Surge, your 3D Cool Ranch Doritos, and your kitten surprise, and let's get into the episode.
This episode contains discussion of murder by strangulation, dismemberment, sexual assault of a corpse, drug use, sexual assault and rape of a minor. Listener discretion is advised.
After a day of doing drugs and hanging out with her quote-unquote lover, Taylor Shabusiness strangled and dismembered Shad Therion. After dismembering his body with a bread knife, she put his body parts around the basement of his mother's house, as well as in a van on the property. After the police were called and Shabusiness was located, she told them she enjoyed killing Shad and wished them luck on finding all of his body parts.
Hey, you guys, welcome to Killer Queens. If you've never been here before, we want to give you just a little information about how the show is set up and what it's meant to accomplish. If you have been here before, welcome back. You can just use that handy skip ahead feature here if you want to.
We want to give a message to friends and family of the victims. We know that there may be someone involved in the case who might listen one day, and we want you to know that our intention is to only bring awareness to this case. And while we do use personal stories in some instances and our own humor in order to tell the story in a way that listeners can relate, we have the utmost respect for victims and their families.
We created Killer Queens to be a place where we can have open discussions about cases just like you would with friends. We are not investigators. We use information that is available to the public, such as documentaries, case files, and media coverage. Using this information, we intend to tell the story of what happened in each case that we cover. Now, will you agree with our interpretations or conclusions of each case? Well, heck no.
We each approach cases from different perspectives, life experiences, and beliefs that we already have in place. And sometimes these differences are slight, yet they can be wide enough to cause divide and upset some of those listening. We do our best to present the facts as we find them in our research, but we do bring our own perspectives to the case. We understand that you will too. We want you to know that this is a safe space to discuss differences and opinions in a civilized manner. Our style may not be your personal preference, and if that's the case, we know you'll be able to find one of the many other shows out there to tell the story the way you want to hear it. We can be grown-ups about it if you can.
Now, if we are your cup of tea and you want even more KQ, you can join our Patreon and get access to our entire catalog of episodes ad-free and access to bonus episodes too. And I'll give you just a little hint if you're an ad skipper, but you still want the deals that we have from our sponsors each week, you can scroll down to the show notes and see what coupons we have available for you right down there.
But you didn't hear it from us.
That's a pro tip, but I'll deny ever sharing it.
Right. So all that being said, let's get into the story.
Wow.
Coming in hot.
Coming in hot. For sure. This is a wild and crazy ride here. I just, you know, I don't even know what to say. I guess we should do our thank yous and then we should just jump into it because...
Yeah. What do you say?
What do you say? Yeah. So we want to give a hey girl thanks to Beth.
Yes. Thank you so
much
for
writing this one up. And she requested it too, I think.
Yes. Along with Jade.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys so much. Thank you. I definitely... followed this case somewhat. The trial was streamed. So I've watched a lot of the trial.
That all by itself, right?
It's a lot. So, but let's start out by talking about Shad Therion. So Shad was born on September 7th, 1997 in Green Bay, Wisconsin to Tara Pakanich and Michael Therion. He had two sisters, Ava and...
I'm going to say Sylvia.
Oh, Sylvia, you think?
Oh, gosh. No, I didn't see that extra I in there.
I'm not totally sure, but I've never heard that name. Like, Sylvia sounds, I don't know, because it looks like Sylvia.
Yeah, I'm
like
not
Olivia, but I don't. I'm not totally sure. We're not totally sure. Sorry about that, girl. And a brother named Bo. He attended the Howard Suamico schools before going to work with his father and grandfather at their family business. Shad enjoyed camping, games, and spending time with family. He was described as being kind, compassionate, and was someone who thought of others before himself. Shad was very artistic and he enjoyed woodworking. Taylor Shabusiness.
If we must.
I know. I remember when this came out and I was like, what the fuck kind of name is Shabusiness?
And if this is a common name or somebody else is actually named that, because there has to be more Shabusinesses. But no offense, but it is a very uncommon, like I've never heard any name like this ever in my life.
No. Well, and her boyfriend slash, I guess now husband, like he changed his name to that, but like, yeah, I don't know where he got that from, but he has a thing with business. Like I've read some of his like Facebook posts and he wrote a letter and he says a lot of, we'll read them. They're very like, what are you talking about? But I was just like,
And also, so sorry, but side note, the Shad Therion reminds me of Charlize Therion.
Oh.
Because your husband can't read and he thought Charlize Theron's name was pronounced Charlize Therion. So.
What's Charlize Therion? It's like, oh my gosh. So Taylor Shabusiness was born Taylor Coronado on November 23rd, 1997 to Marla and Arturo Coronado. According to her father, she lost her mom at the age of 11 and had lost her brother in 2022 to a motorcycle crash. That is very sad.
That is sad.
After her mother's passing, her father remarried, but that marriage fell apart after he was accused of raping a minor in his care.
My God.
In Wisconsin, sexual assault of a child is committed if the person is under age 16. The girl he was accused of assaulting was 13 at the time and was raped in her bedroom. And he's currently serving a 12-year sentence for that. And he was sentenced just a week before his daughter. And it was interesting because if you watch the trial during the, I guess, sentencing phase of it, they brought him in to testify to her upbringing and her mental issues, like leading up to everything. And he walks in and he's in a jumpsuit and he's clearly handcuffed. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, why is he in jail?
Exactly.
They don't address it during the trial, but this is why. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's just crazy. Not, I don't know. That's a lot of stuff going against you, I would say, too.
In one family, too. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, yeah.
So Taylor married Warren Shabusiness on February 14th, 2020. They have a son together who is currently living with grandparents in Texas. And Warren is currently serving time as well for federal drug charges. He was caught with 46 grams of methamphetamine and his current release date is July 25th, 2024. He has so far stood 100% by his wife's side throughout the trial. And again, I'm going to read you some stuff that he's posted. I don't know if he himself, I don't think he has access to Facebook because the letter that he wrote at the top of it, it says pictures to upload to Facebook and post to upload to Facebook or something. So it seems like maybe he
drafted it out and then
in the writing doesn't look like what I would think his handwriting would look like. So I wonder if he's like talking to somebody and he's almost like dictating it and they're writing it down and posting for him. I don't know. Also, his name is misspelled on his Facebook. His official Facebook account or the one that he uses is Warren Shabusiness, like E-E-S at the end. But there is one that is spelled correctly. But he hasn't updated that in like a couple of years. Anyway, yeah, it's.
I don't even know what to do with that information.
I know,
to be honest
exactly.
With you.
So Shad and Taylor had reportedly been friends since middle school, and they had an on again, off again sexual relationship. Taylor's first felony arrest was on June 21st, 2020. The Green Bay Police Department was called to an area where she was walking around the street and like into traffic. When the police arrived, they found that she was high, and just kept walking into traffic. And she at one point said something to one of the police officers, like, why should I stop for you? Why do I have to stop for you? Or something like that. And he's like, because you're going to get run over by a car, I think. Like,
yeah.
I'm honestly trying to help you. So when they tried to get her away from the road, she kicked one police officer. And when a second came to help, she kicked him as well. Tracks. She was arrested and charged with resisting arrest and battery on a law enforcement official. She pled no contest and was given 3 years of probation, as well as a mandatory psychological evaluation. 2 months later, she did not pull over when an officer attempted to pull her over. She sped through a red light and almost hit a bicyclist. She finally stopped in a parking lot where she was grabbed by the police. Her vehicle was searched and both meth and an injection kit were found. This time, she received charges of knowingly fleeing or eluding an officer, bail jumping for not adhering to her probation guidelines, possession of drug paraphernalia, and obstructing an officer. She again pled no contest, and she received 2 years probation and 3 months in jail in January of 2022. The jail time was reduced to house arrest shortly thereafter.
Jeez. When she goes big when she goes, like, you know, like
she really does. And I don't understand, like, they obviously saw some issues here. They ordered a psychological evaluation. They know that she is on drugs. Why did we not order rehab or something, kind of treatment? Like, I just don't.
No idea.
Understand.
Green Bay, Wisconsin is considered the number one place to live per the best places rankings.
Also, this is coming from, I'm just saying.
Going Go ahead, Beth. Who was, she's from Wisconsin.
But I've never seen this list. I wonder where Nashville lands on the list.
It's probably like at the very bottom.
Yeah, probably like number 189.
Exactly. Anyway. The violent crime rate was lower than the national rate in 2020, having 220.4 per 100,000 people in violent crime. Green Bay is home to one of the most storied football franchises in the NFL, the Green Bay Packers. Who play at Lambeau Field. So Lambeau sits in the middle of the city and can essentially be seen from every highway at some point. It is a bigger city with a small town feel and a population of 326,590 as of 2020. It is a nice area to live in with a very Midwest, with very Midwest people who are generally speaking quite nice. Most of the city is considered to be quote unquote nice areas with the exception of some of the West Side. So obviously, I mean, I think that there are some cities that's like, ooh, that's not a great place to live, right? But for the most part, it seems like a lot of cities, it's like, well, it's a good place to live, but you just can't go over there, right? Like everywhere has their area where it's like, ooh, that's kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's always a couple areas where you're like, that's not, you know. But It's interesting. Like, I don't know. I thought, I've always viewed Green Bay as a really big city, but
I did too.
It's like half the size of Nashville.
Because of the Packers. I literally thought, sure. And I feel kind of dumb because I am very dumb. NFL, I didn't realize that Green Bay was an actual place. I didn't know it was like an actual city. I thought it was like, you know, like the New England Patriots. I thought it was like Green Bay is like this area.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize it was like the city of Green Bay. I just had no idea. Because again, I'm very stupid. So exactly.
The cheeseheads.
I do love a cheese curd though. So
sure. Okay, so the account of what happened is what Taylor Shabusiness told the police. And you can watch her interrogations online. There are many videos that you can pick from. Also, please do note that she was high on meth at the time of the murder, and probably she was at the time of her arrest. According to Shabusiness, she picked Shad up from his mother's house on February 21st, 2022, around 9:30 p.m., A friend joined the couple before heading to an apartment to smoke some of the devil's lettuce.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Clutch your pearls. She told police that she and Shad had also smoked methamphetamine as well.
Yeah, I was like, it didn't sound right, but I don't know.
It was like methamphetamine as well as injected trazodone. And trazodone is an antidepressant. It's used to help improve one's mood, appetite, and energy levels, as well as decreasing anxiety and insomnia in relation to depression. I will say, I'm pretty sure that's what they gave my dog for like 4th of July.
Ooh, yeah.
Anxiety.
I'm not mad about the trazodone. The meth,
I mean, none of it's doing anything positive for her, that's for sure. No. She said they eventually returned to Shad's mother's home where they spent the next day while Tara was out. She told the police in an interview that she and Shad would use chains to choke each other as foreplay, but this last time they put them on one another.
What does that mean?
I know. A lot of the stuff that she says is just like, what? Because like, did they normally put it on themselves? Or like, I don't know. But she says, I wonder if she's trying to, I don't know. I wonder if she's trying to be like, well, this time I put it on him. Like, I didn't mean to because I was putting it on him for the purpose of sex and blah, 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 blah. I mean, I don't know. And also she was like really high. So who knows?
Yeah.
According to Taylor, Shad was face down in bed before she said that she, quote, went crazy and repeatedly choked him, despite the fact that he was coughing blood and turning purple. Clear indicator it's past foreplay, isn't it? Green Bay Police Detective David Graff testified that Taylor Shabusiness told him that she admitted to enjoying the entire ordeal. She continued on telling the police that she continued having sex with Shad's dead body for a period of time because she enjoyed it.
No. Why?
She then gathered kitchen knives with the intention of dismembering him and keeping all of his body parts, but then she, quote, got lazy. Detective Graff said that she proceeded to use a bucket and tote bag to collect Shad's blood, which she then used to shower with.
Now, I've never done meth. I'm happy to report. There is no judgment for anybody who has had a run-in with some sort of drug like that. I have no way of knowing if this is normal behavior for somebody who has been doing meth.
Right. It seems like if it was normal behavior for, like, if this is just what meth does to you, there'd be a lot more decapitated people going on.
And you know? Yeah, we'd hear a lot more about this, right? Like this, like what is she doing?
I know. I think this is the intersection of meth with severe mental illness that's untreated.
100%.
Like it's just...
It kind of reminds me of Amaya Nelson in a weird way.
Mm-hmm, a little bit. Yeah. So, I mean, and she's talking about this like, well, we went here at this time and then we did this and then we did that. But the words she's using are, well, I choked him. And once I realized I was choking him to death, I was like, well, might as well finish up here. And drained his blood out of his body, showered with that, of course. What else would I do? Decapitated him, dismembered his, but you know, like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. So at about 2:30 a.m. on February 23rd, 2022, Shad's mom, Tara, woke up to a loud knocking sound at the door. And then she heard Taylor's van driving away. She knew Taylor. Like, she and Shad have been friends for a really long time. Like, this is just bizarre. She goes to the basement to see if Shad was there. And when she didn't see him, she goes back upstairs. Well, on her way back upstairs, she found a bucket, which was like at the bottom of the stairs, I think. And when she looked inside, she found her son's head.
God, could you even imagine? Could you imagine?
Oh my gosh. Tara's boyfriend, Steve Hendricks, called 911 right away. And when the police arrived, they started searching the basement to confirm that a head had actually been found. The police's body cam footage confirmed that this was true. And again, you can see their body cam footage online. Like, it's insane. Officer Alex Wanish, I guess, testified that there was a green bucket with a shower towel on top of it. And when he lifted the towel to verify, he found Shad's severed head. That's not the only thing that was in the bucket, though. His penis was also found inside the bucket, along with bodily fluid and two knives. And when they talked to her about this, like, why were those things in the bucket? She's like, well, I was just keeping the parts that I liked.
The thing is, though, I mean, at what point in your life, I guess, like, as an investigator, law enforcement officer, you would maybe ask questions that normal people wouldn't ever expect to ask. I would never, ever be like, at one point I'm going to have to ask, why was your lover's head and penis in a bucket? But then the answer is just so disgusting. Like,
yeah. What were you going to do with that? You wanted to keep the parts you liked for what purpose?
I don't personally understand murder. I don't really understand why somebody would feel the need to murder someone. I mean, maybe you know, there are different scenarios. And like, if you're defense or something like that, I totally get that. But for this situation, I'm like, I honestly don't understand why the murder even happened. I also really don't understand the dismemberment with a fucking butter knife. Have you ever tried to cut anything with a butter knife besides butter?
Well, it was a bread knife.
But still.
I thought butter knife too. But I think what they're talking about is that serrated. Yeah, but still.
But still.
It's meant for bread, not bones. I mean, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just the amount, because at some point, whether or not, I mean, she was under the influence of methamphetamine and also the anti-anxiety prescription, trazodone, but I don't know what that those two do to each other, like combined. But so, but that's so much time that she had to spend, because I cannot imagine it went quickly.
Well, and also in the basement where his mom could come down the stairs at any moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, so, you know, the police discover all this stuff downstairs. They find various other body parts in various other places and bags and boxes and whatever, and just blood everywhere. And then they go to her apartment because Tara says the last person he was with was Taylor. So they go to her apartment and try to locate her. And there she is. Her van is parked like right outside in the apartment complex or whatever. And it snowed because Green Bay. And the officers are walking through and they see bloody footprints. Like there's blood in the snow. And they're like, is that blood? Is this bloody footprints? And they're like, yeah, it looks like blood. So they go knock on the door. She seems very surprised. He described her as a deer in the headlights when they were like, hey, we're detectives and we're here. And she's like, So they're talking to her and she's being real like nonchalant with them. And she's like, everything's fine. And then they go to arrest her and she's got blood all over her hands. Like she just still has blood all over her. And they're like, and then she had some of his body parts in the back of her van.
Like,
or at least his blood. I forget exactly what, because she had stuff everywhere. But like,
you know that I can see you. Right now.
I know. And that's another reason why, I don't know if this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but I don't necessarily know that she was mentally competent when this happened.
I mean, clearly not, because I'd say clearly not, but you know what I mean? Like in my opinion, somebody who is mentally competent would not do all of these things at all, but also not make any effort to hide.
Cover. Yeah, exactly. She's got blood all over her. There's blood all over her vehicle. There's bloody footprints in her damn parking lot. And, you know, like we said, she's spending, like you said, that takes a ton of time.
Yes, it does.
And she's just still in the basement and knows his mom lives there. Like she could have come down the stairs at any time. So that just doesn't seem like something. The police and the prosecutors in trial say, well, she knew that what she was doing was wrong because she tried to cut his body up and hide it and like all that kind of stuff. But she showered in his blood. Like, I don't know that we're talking about somebody
who's a completely sane person.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, does she need to be kept away from public?
Yes. 100%.
Danger to other people. But I just don't know that that says, well, she knew what she was doing was
no,
wrong.
I mean, I don't know her at all, obviously, and I've never given her an evaluation because I'm not licensed to do so in Wisconsin. But it's kind of reminiscent of Andrea Yates, where it's like, okay, what's the problem? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't.
Yeah.
And for her to be so surprised that the cops showed up, it's like, bitch, you've been leaving blood all over the place. I don't even know the right way to describe it, but like, she hasn't been bleeding, but she's been like bleeding all over the place.
And she wasn't quiet when she left the house because it woke Tara up. Tara gets up, hears that Taylor is leaving because she knew Taylor had been there for a full day. Taylor and Shad hang out all the time or whatever. Goes downstairs, comes up, finds her son's head in a fucking bucket right there at the stairs. Wouldn't you take that with you if you were trying to hide it? Like, you know, it's like it wasn't a secret that Taylor had been with him. It wasn't like, okay, well, maybe nobody will know and I need to get out of here before somebody catches me, or I don't know, you know?
Yeah. And then when the police arrive, she's like, what are you guys doing here?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. So she was arrested for the murder of Shad Therion, and the criminal complaint read, quote, Shabusiness stated that she thought it took 3 to 5 minutes for the victim to die. Detective Kempf clarified with Shabusiness that when the victim began to cough up blood, she did just keep on choking the victim because she wanted to see what happens.
My God. Taylor Shabusiness was charged with first-degree intentional homicide, mutilating a corpse, and third-degree sexual assault on March 1st, 2022. She was held on a $2 million bail in Brown County. Her first court appearance was via Zoom, where she stood with her arms crossed and only showed her face when Judge Walsh asked if she was actively listening to what was happening in the competency hearing. At this hearing, it was ruled that Shabusiness needed to undergo an inpatient evaluation within 15 days after arriving at a mental facility. Quinn Jolly, Shabusiness's first attorney, God bless her, entered a not guilty by reason of insanity plea initially for her. However, a court-appointed physician found her competent to stand trial. Jolly argued that she had previously been diagnosed as bipolar and had been seeking mental health treatment since the seventh grade. However, Judge Walsh ruled that she was capable of assisting in her own defense. Jolly requested that they get a second opinion about her mental condition, and Judge Walsh stated that he wasn't opposed, but that it would not be at the taxpayer's expense. Judge Walsh wouldn't authorize the use of court funds, but granted the request to hire a second person to evaluate her. Judge Walsh scheduled a hearing for May 19th, 2022, for expert witnesses to argue whether or not Shabusiness was competent to stand trial. After a four-hour hearing, it was ruled that she was mentally competent to assist in her own case. The prosecution witness, Dr. Deborah L. Collins, a psychologist and the director of the Milwaukee-based Wisconsin Forensics Unit, said that her 75-minute exam of Shabusiness showed that she understood the major concepts that would be covered at the trial and the roles that key people would play in the proceeding. And she also said that Shabusiness was cooperative and the interview was quite productive.
But, like, we talked about this in the Santoya Brown case.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you understand major concepts and key roles that people are going to play.
Yeah.
But her behavior throughout the trial doesn't show that she really understood that she needed what she needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
To play an active role in her defense. She plays an active role in her destruction of her. You know, like,
she is incredibly, in my opinion, she seems unhinged, like just not altogether there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what is going on with her, but I've never seen anything like it, to be honest with you.
No,
and we'll get into what we're talking about if you don't
it
know,
just
but
doesn't make sense to say, yeah, no, she can play the same role or same level of assistance in her own defense as you or I.
Which That's simply not.
Yeah. It's not true. Yeah.
No. The witness for the defense, Dr. Tracy Lucetta, a psychologist and former faculty member at the University of Wisconsin Green Bay, interviewed Shabusiness for 2 hours. She said that Shabusiness's sometimes odd way of communicating made her, quote, come across as moderately impaired mentally, and it seemed to affect her ability to participate in the trial. She recommended that Shabusiness be treated in one of Wisconsin's psychiatric hospitals, either at Winnebago in Oshkosh or Mendota in Madison, where the prisoners are sometimes held. Then on July 5th, 2022, Taylor entered a not guilty plea. Then at the end of August, which is, you know, not to be, I don't mean to take anything lightly or like make any jokes about it, but for her to say, I am entering a not guilty plea when it's this case, I'm like, that by itself says that she is not competent to stand. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah.
You fucking did. Like, there's no doubt that you did it.
Right. But anyway. Yeah, we need more context there. Like,
So then at the end of August, her attorney, Quinn Jolly, entered a new plea of not guilty by reason of insanity. Changing the plea delayed the trial that was supposed to begin on September 19th, 2022, and it was rescheduled for March 2023. On February 14th, 2023, another competency hearing took place. During this trial, Taylor attacked her lawyer, Quinn Jolly, until a deputy was able to wrestle her to the ground. Immediately following the attack, Jolly requested to be removed from the case.
Yeah, I feel like 99% of people have seen this video online. Yeah. I mean, that she just goes for it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, I do really feel like it must have been a really, really tough job for Quinn Jolly. Like, I cannot imagine what trying to represent her would have been like or felt like for him. Like, ooh-wee.
Yeah.
It was rough stuff. I would not have wanted to be her defense. I'll say that right now.
Well, yeah, absolutely not. Can't blame him there.
Judge Walsh agreed to Jolly leaving the case, and Taylor returned to her next trial with a new attorney, Christopher Frohlin. Frohlin filed a motion for Judge Walsh to remove himself from the case because he had been present during Jolly's attack and raised concerns that it would cloud his judgment. Judge Walsh denied the motion, stating that he was able to still be fair and impartial. Judge Walsh granted Frohlin's next motion, though. He requested that he have additional time to speak with his client and familiarize himself with the case. Judge Walsh also granted his motion for the district attorney's office to provide a complete set of, quote, discovery materials to him.
Why do you have to file a motion for that? Isn't that just supposed to be what happens?
I kind of thought it was, but I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah. After this, a motion to change venue was requested and subsequently denied by Judge Walsh. Yet another competency hearing was requested and granted. However, Judge Walsh would not delay the trial date any further. A motion was also filed to exclude evidence of Taylor Shabusiness's searches of, quote, Jeffrey Dahmer walking into court all sexy and Jeffrey Dahmer's butt.
First of all, she used to be the one and only person in the entire universe who finds Jeffrey Dahmer sexy.
Maybe she meant somebody else. I don't... It's the only thing that I can think
There's
of.
There's a picture of her somewhere, though. Like, I think she posted on her Facebook or something where she's like laying down and there's a picture of Jeffrey Dahmer like next to her.
Oh, so she knows, she does know that that's him and what he looks like. Okay.
Yep. Oh. Also, he wasn't into her type.
No, not even a little bit. That's the appeal. No, I don't even know. Ugh.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's the Jeffrey Dahmer. He didn't really, did he? He wasn't so much into dismembering as he was into cannibalism.
Right.
And as far as we know, she didn't cannibalize Shad, so.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
I'm not really sure. Anyway, we can't make sense of these things, even though I really, really want to find a way to make sense of it. You just can't do it. Judge Walsh ruled that the evidence could be admitted in court, but not her searches on Satanism. The trial began on July 21st, 2023. There were 11 witnesses for the prosecution that testified on Monday, July 24th. There were members of Shad's family, members of the Green Bay Police Department, and personnel from the Brown County 911 Dispatch Center, as well as the medical examiner's office. And the first person to testify was from the dispatch center, and the phone call made to 911 that night was played in court. Steve Hendricks, who made the 911 call, testified as well and said in court, quote, I woke up by the dead sleep and I'm tripping out. She wakes up crying, telling me she found her son's head in a bucket. Yeah, it's a little disturbing.
Like, what? Well,
more than a little disturbing.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine, like, even people who just say that, like, they get a phone call and they find out that somebody has died, even if it's, you know, a tragic accident, a car accident, or something like that.
Oh, absolutely.
You still are like so jarred because you're like, okay, today was a normal day. You're like, what? What? Or somebody's been killed or somebody's been murdered. Like,
absolutely.
I'm sorry, you found his head in a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. I don't think anything in life could ever prepare you for something like that. And I feel so bad. I feel so terrible for Shad's mother. Mm-hmm. Like, that is just, oof. The jury also watched the body camera footage of the police searching the basement and also finding Shad's severed head in a bucket beneath a beach towel.
This poor.
That must have been the worst day. Oh, God.
Yeah.
The trial was done in two phases. The first regarding the charges against Taylor Shabusiness. If she was found guilty, the second phase would focus on whether or not she was responsible for the crime or if she was suffering from a mental disease or defect at the time that she murdered Shad. Taylor Shabusiness was found guilty on all counts during the first phase of the trial. On day four, phase two began. Her father testified on her behalf, which is what we talked about earlier, entering the courtroom in his orange jumpsuit and shackles, and he told the court that he had sought help for his daughter more than once because she suffered from hallucinations and was not in her right mind. And he said that he had, quote, always worried for her mental health.
And he did talk about the fact that she spent some time in a mental facility, that they had checked her in somewhere because she had been having these hallucinations and things like that. He also fucking hates her husband, Warren Shabusiness. He's like, that guy's a fucking loser. And he's like, she, you know, she had her mental issues or whatever. He believed at one point that maybe she had been medicated. The DA, though, was like, anything he heard from any doctor that he talked about or anything that he thought he heard, or did she tell him she was medicated? That's hearsay. Like, no, whatever. So he had to be really careful about how he talked about it. But that once she met Warren, that's when she got on drugs. That she was not on drugs before that, and then she got on drugs. And the drugs are what sent it over the edge, is what he says.
Well, and that could be incredibly true. I am not sure entirely, but I've heard of something like that happening, you know, like when you're not taking a prescribed medication for whatever mental illness or mental defect, whatever you want to call it, but then you use, you know, recreational drugs instead, that can really, really mess you up and really, really magnify that mental illness.
Yeah. And exacerbate it. And yeah, exactly. Yes. So yeah, I don't know. That's just, you know, that's what her father said.
And I don't want to come across as somebody who is like, poor Taylor Shabusiness. Like you said earlier, I do definitely think that she does not need to be around other people. And again, I don't know what it's like to do meth. I don't know what it's like to have whatever mental illness she has. I don't think, right. I don't know. But whatever combination of that, whatever that did to her, obviously resulted in her not being any kind of safe around the public.
Yeah. And her dad said she just wasn't in her right mind. She wasn't in her right mind. Like the person, she had gotten into trouble a little bit in like high school. Not much. She didn't have a super violent history. You know, he's just like, the drugs changed it all. Like it just, and just if you look at her behavior throughout the trial, there's one part where she's sitting there and she's like kind of sitting like this. And she looks at the judge and she goes, like, she's shooting him. That's not the behavior of somebody who is assisting in their own defense. Like, I just am not totally sure how they came out with, she's totally competent to stand trial. And at the very least, that they didn't find mental illness as part of how this happened.
Well, and my thoughts too were like, okay, whatever she's got going on plus the meth use, that is a terrible combination. But then you remove the meth use because obviously she's in jail. I'm guessing she's not using meth at that point.
Right.
So that all by itself, it just, something is going on with her mental state. Something, obviously, because she's still acting very erratically and, again, in my opinion, unhinged. So.
Right. But like, what's really interesting about it is, I didn't realize this until this case, and of course, I don't know every state's laws or anything, but that Taylor became ineligible for the not guilty by reason of insanity plea because part of her defense was that the drugs exacerbated the mental illness and compounded her psychosis, and they had experts that testified to this. And in Wisconsin, if it's fueled by drugs, then now you're just ineligible for this. But why? Like,
I'm not sure
it's common for people with undiagnosed, untreated, or even diagnosed
and treated, but you don't take
illness, to self-medicate. Yeah. Like, it's very common. So I just don't know why that.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's fair, but at all. That's ridiculous to me. I did not know that. That's
Well, and like when you go through the history, she had hospitalizations. She had diagnoses of mental illness and stuff going back to her childhood. And for whatever reason, what did the jury return?
Yeah, exactly.
Unanimously, she does not have mental disease or defect at the time of the murder.
Mm-hmm. And she's completely capable of assisting in her own defense, which is absolutely not true. And again, okay, so if that's the law, I don't feel like it should be. Like, that's ridiculous to me, because I also don't think that somebody should be able to be like, well, I was on drugs, so I wasn't in my right mind. Like, because that's not necessary. We got to have some culpability and accountability, right?
Exactly.
But after the drugs are out of her system, as far as I know that you can get certain things in prison. I've heard of this before. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But after the drugs are out of her system, she is still acting completely erratic. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, how does that not say that it's a mental break or a mental health issue, a mental illness? Like, I'm confused.
Yeah. I mean, obviously she has done a horrible thing.
Oh, 100%. Like, no. That's, yeah, there's no doubt about that.
She needs mental health treatment. And yeah, it's just very confusing to both of us, obviously.
I also think
why
that
it was found this way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I also think that, as far as I know, and again, I've never been to prison. I've never been to jail. I'm going to knock on something, because today might be the day, who the fuck knows. But I also have never been to a mental health,
psychiatric facility or...
Yes. Yeah. Where it's like court mandated, you are, by reason of insanity, you have to be here, right? I've never done anything like that. Gone to therapy. That's the closest thing that I've ever come to it. So I think that it is really, it's a common misconception that people think, oh, well, that's an easy way out to claim not guilty by reason of insanity, because then you just get, it's like a get out of jail free card. No, it's not.
No, it's not. Exactly. Where is Andrea Yates?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a get out of jail free card, but it is a mental illness is not a pass for behavior, but it is an explanation. It can help explain it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it needs to be treated. And I don't know if they found her to have not had mental disease or defect at the time of the murder and competent enough to stand trial. Is she receiving that treatment in jail?
I guarantee.
I know. It doesn't feel like she is.
All my money on she isn't. Yeah.
Also, I want to tell you some of the stuff that Warren Shabusiness has said.
Yes.
Okay. So his name is Warren Chabot. That's how he was born. And he went and legally changed his name to Shabusiness because he's a Shabusiness man. I wish I was joking.
I literally was like, we're going to get so much shit from somebody named Shabusiness, but it's like, that's just a made up Princess Consuelo banana hammock name.
Exactly. So he says, my wife, Taylor, on Facebook, my wife, Taylor Shabusiness might be locked up for a long time / forever, but that doesn't change the fact that she's my wife. I'm always going to stand behind her no matter what. Fuck anyone who has anything to say about my empire, because right now, all that matters is that my wife is okay.
Oh my.
What empire, sir?
Exactly.
He says if drugs were never given to her, she would still be at home. But guess what? Life has took a turn for everyone. Now we all have to deal with the situation in our own way. And then he goes on and he says, well, Taylor Shabusiness, keep your head up, stay strong, stay positive, and continue praying. Never forget our bond is stronger than the world and our empire no one understands till it's too late to understand. Shabusiness way is the only way. All right, then. I love and miss you so much, baby boo. Ride or die till death do us Shapart.
Why?
Yes, he did. Love always, Warren Shabusiness.
Oh my God.
And then
this
he
is even
says,
darker than I thought.
I know. So he's got a real thing with business. He put, and on her Facebook page, her about information is like, you know, lives at whatever Shabusiness way or something like that. I can't remember, but it's like, anyway. Then this is post for Facebook. Babe, I look at our pictures every day. They keep me motivated, take my bitterness away. Plus keep a smile on my face. The world don't know us for who we are. They don't know our struggles. We struggle with mental illness, postpartum, bipolar, and addiction play a big role in our choices. I'm sorry, big part in our choices we've made. People probably want to know what happened February 23rd, 2022, question marks. Drugs were given to Taylor Shabusiness from, he said Shade, but it's Chad, while at his house. Yes, he is dead now, which I am sorry for him and his family. The truth is, though, drugs should never been given to my wife because it's the drugs that caused her to do what she did. But yet, Shad isn't at any fault here, and he's the one who provided her the illegal drugs. I just hope one day my wife will make it home because she doesn't deserve to be locked up forever. She's still the mother of our son. She's still my beautiful wife, and I want the world to know she's not who the news makes her out to be. With this being said, please don't judge because there's always two sides to every story. And I promise you, if you knew my wife like I know my wife, you wouldn't think or believe she could ever do what she has done. But at the end of the day, she's still got a son and a husband who loves and cares about her more than anything in this world. Baby boo, our son and I pray for you every day. We think about you nonstop and we promise you we will always be here for you no matter what, because that's the ship business way. Stay strong and get better soon. We need you. Something boo. We love and miss you so much. Everything is going to be okay. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Hashtag free Taylor Shabusiness. Love always and forever. The child and Warren Shabusiness. It's very interesting to me because Shad is described as her lover and her boyfriend, and he seems to have no issue with that.
He's not even brought it up not one time. And I also really think, like, okay, so we have taken a stance of, or we both have discussed that while what she did is horrific and terrible and should have never been done, obviously. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. No question. Also, there is some mental illness at play here that I don't think is very fair to just say, well, she's totally capable and totally fine. Like, just, I don't think that it was the right choice to be like, well, she's good. She's competent. Let's just do this. Right.
Right.
I also think when you were reading that last one, I was like, ooh, ow, ooh, I don't. So Shad is the one who, and maybe he did. Maybe he was like, hey, do you want to do some meth real quick? And she was like, yeah, that sounds good to me. But I don't think that he was like holding her down and forcing her to do it. I'm guessing. I don't know. I also don't think that it is fair at all to say that it was his fucking fault. And no. For him to say it so flippantly, like, yeah, I mean, I'm sorry that he's dead, but he made my wife take drugs. Yeah.
Like, basically, like, you knew that if she had drugs, she was going to turn around and sever your head. Like, no, he didn't know that. And also, I mean, I know this is according to her dad, and so whatever that means, but supposedly she didn't do drugs till she met Warren. And he's locked up for a federal drug charge. So,
yeah, are we one to talk? Are we one to pass judgment?
So you can give her drugs, but nobody else can give her drugs.
And also, and I can't stress this enough, I mean, we've talked about it a billion zillion times, you cannot give yourself a nickname. He went one step further and he gave himself a new fucking last name, which is also a nickname and stupid.
And then he starts
just
putting
stupid.
Exactly. On everything. Nothing can tear us apart. I was like, oh, no. I heard that and I was like, we got to read that. He's just yucky.
Fucking Shaddam is what he is. Like, I cannot deal with it.
What a shajackass.
Yes. Oh, that's a good one. I really enjoy that. A psychologist for the defense stated that they believe that Shabusiness was not criminally responsible for her actions because she suffers from severe bipolar disorder that made her unable to appreciate the wrongfulness of her actions and deprived her of, quote, volitional control. There were two court-appointed psychologists that testified for the state that said that her actions were fueled by drugs, which made her ineligible for the insanity plea under Wisconsin's definition, which is what Torella said. They stated that her decision to dismember Shad's body and clean the basement crime scene as evidence that she knew what she was doing was wrong. Her attorney argued that the drugs may have compounded her psychosis, but there was also enough evidence that she suffers from a longstanding disorder that affects her actions that dates back to childhood. And the jury returned a unanimous verdict, finding that she did not have a mental disease or defect at the time of the murder, and her sentencing is scheduled for September 26th, which will have happened by the time this is out, 2023, and we will absolutely follow up on the sentencing and additional information. So,
Taylor Shabusiness was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. The Brown County judge also added two consecutive sentences, adding 18 years to the life sentence for the crimes of dismembering and sexually assaulting Shad. Shabusiness wore a spit hood to her sentencing. This is given to individuals who pose a risk of spitting or biting others, which actually, you know, really makes sense. And honestly, it's surprising that she hasn't been given something like this before now. So that's it. Let us know what you guys think. And please do it in a respectful way. If you disagree with our thoughts, then that's totally fine. But let's just totally keep it respectful.
Yeah, absolutely. But thank you guys so much for hanging out. And we love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on this case. Connect with us on Instagram or Facebook to continue the conversation.
Thanks for listening. And we will meet you back here next week.
Bye.
The theme song for the show is created and composed by Stephen Toby. You can find more of Stephen's work on SoundCloud.
Our logo was created by Sloan Williams of Sophisticated Crayon. You can find more of her work on Etsy. Visit us at killerqueenspodcast.com for merch and other info about the show.